Hello, this is Frank Bell again, and I'm here with the second part of my two-part series about using E17, the Enlightenment Desktop version 0.17. I had hoped to get this done earlier, but things have been kind of jangly around here, and as anyone who has ever studied the topic can tell you, the first rule of time management is that the urgent drives out the important. The first episode has already been published. I'll include a link to that in my show notes. If you want to see the detailed show notes with links to various Enlightenment resources, rather than repeating them in the show notes for this episode, I'll simply refer you to the show notes for the first episode. The first episode was a general overview of the Enlightenment desktop. Here I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of some of the configuration items, because they do function somewhat differently than in the newer desktop environments such as XFCE, KDE, and GNOME. I'm going to focus on certain items regarding appearance and functionality that I'm particularly interested in. I'm not going to try to cover every single choice because no one will want to listen, and I wouldn't want to do all that much talking anyway, even though I do like to talk. But if you get the hang of how these work, then you will have the hang of how the whole thing works. If you'll recall, Enlightenment has shelves, what in other desktop environments are called panels. They are pretty much the same thing. I'll start with the shelf. Then I'll move on to various settings that are found in the settings panel dialog itself and look at mouse, keyboard, navigation and key bindings, appearance, configuring startup applications, and the title bar dialog, which you get when you right-click on the title bar of an application window. A shelf will typically have a menu item to display the full menu, a workspace pager, an iBar or icon bar where you can put launcher icons. With Enlightenment 17, E17, there is a task bar where you can see the icons of open programs, whether they're minimized or whether they're open to the screen. This is one difference between the previous version of Enlightenment, as far as I can tell, that in previous versions, an icon for an open application would only appear in an iBox if that application were minimized. In E17, the icon appears whether or not the application is minimized, and if you click on that icon in the taskbar, Enlightenment will take you to the workspace into that application. To configure the shelf, I can point at any item on the shelf and right-click, and I will get a menu for configuring that item. In this case, I'm pointing at the pager, and there will also be a menu for configuring the shelf. I can point to the iBar, and I right-click on that, and I get an item to configure the launcher for the application I'm pointing at, or to configure the iBar itself, or to configure the shelf. So from any item on the shelf, I can right-click. I get an option to configure the entire shelf, to configure the particular gadget that I'm looking at, or if it's a particular icon on the launcher, to configure that icon. I'm pointing at the icon for Pan, and if I select that item on the menu, my items are the properties, or I can remove that icon from the launcher bar or the iBar. If I go down to the shelf, I get choices to configure the contents, the settings, the orientation, whether it's upper right hand of the screen where I like it, vertically along the left hand side of the screen, wherever you would like to position it, whether you want it to auto hide or not, I customarily do not, to refresh the appearance in case I've made some changes and they don't seem to be showing, or to rename it. About the only ones I've ever messed with are the orientation and the contents. So we'll talk about contents. Shelf contents, I click on that, and I get an item which lists available gadgets, which include the battery meter, the clock, the settings, the connection manager, which I mentioned in the previous podcast, iBars, iBox, and so on. The gadgets that are actually installed on my shelf have a little green dot to the right of them. If I want to add a gadget to the shelf, say I want to add the thermometer, I click on the temperature item to highlight it and click Add Gadget. And then it will appear on the shelf. Then I can position it where I wish, and I'll talk about that shortly. There is an advanced button, which if I click, shows me the loaded gadgets and the available gadgets. Slightly different format, but pretty much the same functionality. That is not always the case when you click the advanced button, and I'll give a particular example of that later when I start talking about wallpapers. If I want to rearrange the gadgets from the default mode, I can right-click on whichever item, and in the right-click menu that appears, the bottom choice is Begin Moving Gadgets. If I click that, each gadget, not each icon, but each gadget, such as the pager, the iBar, the taskbar, will be highlighted, and I can grab that with the mouse and move it to a different location. It's a little touchy sometimes to get them to the right location, but once you get them there, then you would right-click again, and the bottom option in the first pop-up menu will be to stop moving gadgets. If I want to rearrange the launcher icons, and that's something I did want to do because I wanted to put the ones I used most often to the left and the ones I used least often to the right, I right-click on the iBar, the launcher bar, and select Contents, and a window opens. Under the Applications tab is listed every application known to Enlightenment, all the applications that exist on my computer. Selecting an application to be in the launcher bar is very similar to selecting a gadget. You highlight the application you want to appear, and then you go down and you click Add, and it will be added to the launcher bar or the iBar. To manipulate the order, you click the Order tab, and it lists them. The ones that are already configured for the iBar, you highlight the one you want to move, and you would click Up or Down, or you could even click Remove, and position it where you want it in the sequence. The ones at the top are to the left in my horizontal iBar. The ones at the bottom are to the right. And once you've selected that, you click Apply. Once you click Apply, the Close button will gray out and no longer be accessible. Or you could click OK, which would apply it and close the window. And most of the other items on the shelf can be configured in a similar way. You right-click the menu, you pick the shelf or the name of the gadget, and do your configuration. One item that does happen, I did this with the clock when it was there on the shelf. It was really too small to read. one of the menu items on the right click is move to, and I can move it to back to the shelf or to the desktop, depending on where I wanted it. I choose to move it to the desktop, then select the setting to resize it and make it large enough to see, and then I set the sticky state so it would always appear at the same place and would appear on all four of my configured desktops. And I will talk about setting the sticky and remembering the position later. It's something I think a lot of people will find useful. So that's configuring the shelf from the shelf. The other way to configure something is to go to the settings panel. To do that, left click to bring up the menu, and then I go to the item towards the bottom that says settings. That item gives me a choice for the settings panel and also gives me choices for the most popular settings area, at least as the Enlightenment maintainers see it: gadgets, module shelves, the theme, and the wallpaper. And at the bottom there is a choice for all, which lists all the choices in the settings panel grouped under their headings so that I can go directly to a particular one. So if I want to configure my favorites menu, I can go to settings, all, apps, and select my favorites right there. Or I can click on the settings panel, which will open to the first item in the list, which is look. And under there, there's wallpaper, application theme, overall theme, colors, and so on and so forth. And I can click on the next item, or I can cursor on the arrow key on in the window display and go to apps, screen, windows, menus, and other selections. So let's take a look at how one of these works. I'll go to look and theme because I like my eye candy. I like to play with themes. If I click on theme, a window opens up giving me a list of my installed themes. I can point to system theme, which is the default choice, or if I have a theme stored in my home directory, I can point to personal. If I have downloaded a theme and want to install it, there's an import button in the top right, which I can then import that theme into my choices. The highlighted theme is displayed in a mini picture of what it will look like, so I can compare the various ones that are installed. And I can go to the advanced button, and that gives me some choices for configuring various items within a theme. I have not done much with this, basically because I like my wallpaper. If I get my wallpaper displaying the way I want it, I don't worry too much about the color of the window borders and things like that. It's just something I used to tinker with that stuff back in the Windows 3.1 days, and it no longer fascinates me quite so much. One caution about themes, and this was in the first episode of this: if you go to download a theme, make sure it is compatible with E17. According to the Enlightenment website, the theme engine has changed between the E16 series and the E17 series, and certain themes may not work properly in E17. I actually had that happen to me on one of my computers. I'm logging into the command line because I'm using Slackware, and I had to reboot and find that theme and remove it in the configuration, and that before I started up the X server again and started using the graphical interface. I'm going to talk a bit about wallpapers. If I go to wallpaper, I get a dialog which shows the selected wallpaper, and if it's particularly, if I have different wallpapers on different desktops, it shows me which wallpaper is on my current desktop. It also shows me to the left a list of wallpapers that I have used on that desktop. If I want to add a new one, I can either look at the system wallpapers if I have a bunch installed, or I can go to click the personal radio button, and then just to the right of that, there's a dialog that says picture. I can click that, and navigate to a directory and select a wallpaper from there. I store mine in wallpapers, so I'll navigate quickly to my wallpapers folder and pick a nice picture, Bryce Canyon, and I'm going to select Use. And it gives me a dialog for the settings, whether it should be fill, center, or what have you. I usually select fill. I can use the original file, or it will actually import it into Enlightenment. I usually leave that. Set it the default, which is to import. I click OK. Now, here's where you can set your wallpaper for just this workspace, or all workspaces. Once you select OK, and your selected wallpaper is appearing in the big dialog picture, click Advanced, and you'll have a choice for all desktops or this desktop. One thing I have noticed is from time to time, you might come in here and you want to set the wallpaper for this desktop, and you don't have an Apply button. You have to tickle it. So I have no Apply button here. Just to close, this desktop is selected. If I were doing this for the first time and Enlightenment had the same wallpaper on all four desktops, I might have to change the setting and change it back to make it come alive. So I had no Apply button when I first went in here. Then I clicked the radio button for all desktops, and the Apply button came alive. I'm going back to this desktop because that's what I want to have. But the reason I mentioned that, if you come into this and you don't see an Apply button that you can click, change the setting and then change it to what you want. It will wake up your dialog. And I click Apply, and my wallpaper changes to Bryce Canyon. One other choice that exists here is to click to use the theme wallpaper. It exists above the dialog button for selecting a picture. I like my own wallpaper. And frankly, I'm not real big on the science fiction-y, fantasy type of stuff that some people seem to like when they designed wallpapers. And I don't like to have logos in the middle of my wallpaper, so I almost never use a theme wallpaper. So let me close out of this. I'll go to apps. I want to talk a bit about favorite apps in particular. Favorite applications can be, there are no favorite applications when you first install E17, but if you have a certain short list of applications that you use frequently, you can call them favorites, and then with the default key bindings, if you right-click, your menu of favorite applications will appear to the desktop. There's a helicopter going by. I live in an area which is very heavily Navy. And from time to time, a Navy helicopter will fly over. And fortunately, so far, none of them have fallen on top of me. If I left click to bring up the default menu, the favorite applications, once you have favorites configured, will be the top choice, and it presents the same list as right-clicking and bringing up favorites. To add something to favorites, you click on favorites, and it works just like some of the shelf dialogs. There's a list of applications. You select the one that you want to add to your favorite and click on add, and it will be added to the list of favorites. If you want to change the order in which they appear in the list, you click the Order tab, and they are listed top to bottom. I usually list mine in alphabetical order. Now, I have noticed that when I add a new favorite, I may have to restart Enlightenment for it to appear in the list, which I can do without closing any windows or applications, simply by going to the main menu, then to the Enlightenment item, and clicking Restart. And that will restart the window manager while leaving your applications running and untouched. It just restarts it in the background. Now, another thing, and there are a number of categories. There's look, app, screen, windows, menus. I haven't found much useful under there. Language, advanced, input. I want to talk about input. because this is where you set up your key bindings and your mouse bindings. I left the mouse bindings pretty much as they are, but if I were to want to change them, say if I wanted to have the right click bring up the menu rather than left click, I click on mouse bindings. I scroll down till I find the one I wanted, say left button, and highlighted, it jumps right to menu, and under the menu category, show main menu is highlighted. And I can delete that binding, I can modify it. There's a delete all to delete all mouse bindings, which I suspect would be a really, really bad idea, and so on. I highlight the mouse action on the left, the action on the right, and then the add, the delete, modify, and what have you. There are also some settings for the action context, and I tell the truth, I have not messed with this. It does say zone. We'll wait for this phone call to go to the voicemail. Okay, and as usual, no one left a message. It's some corporation with a war dollar trying to sell me something I don't need for a price I don't want to pay. I haven't done anything with the action context dialog. The default is zone, and I suspect most people won't be too much interested in it, so I'm not going to do any exploring. I want to mention key bindings for a bit. I do use a lot of key bindings. I don't like having desktop icons. I stopped using desktop icons way early in my Windows XP days because I got tired of the clutter. So I went to menus, and I heavily customized my menus, and I'm very spoiled with the key bindings that I have in Fluxbox. So now that I've been using Enlightenment a lot, I want to keep the convenience of key bindings. Most of the key bindings I use are to open applications. I don't use them to go from one desktop to the other and things like that. So suppose I want to, and I use generally the super key, which Enlightenment actually refers to as the Win key. So if I want to add a key binding, I click Add, and Enlightenment tells me, please press a key sequence or escape to abort. So I press the keys that I want to bind. I'll pick one I'm not using. And then it appears in the dialog on the left, Win plus Q. If I want to make that a command, I scroll through the list, and there's a whole bunch of pre-configured actions, such as the Show Everything Launcher, Show the Windows Plugin, Show or Hide Gadgets, Delayed Action, and so on. And I can get down to, and you can select any one of those. I get down to launch, and there's a choice for command and a choice for application. I usually use command, and it works just fine. And I click on command, and in the bottom, there's a dialog box that says action parameters, syntax, command name, example, /usr/bin/xmms. And I type in the command, opera, pan, clause mail, whatever it may be that I'm trying to set up. I have found if the application is in my path, it's not necessary to type in the full path to the application. Just typing in opera, LibreOffice, kedit, whatever it is, seems to work just fine. And once I've got that typed in there, I click apply. As I recall, I usually have to restart Enlightenment, as I described before, in order for the binding to work. I gather that those configuration files are read at Enlightenment startup. Someone asked me recently, just as a footnote, because I use Debian, I use Mint regularly, but predominantly Slackware, how do I keep them straight? And the way I keep them straight is this. I don't do Super L or Windows key T for Thunderbird, I do Windows key M for mail. So whatever operating system I'm using, Windows key M will open my mail client. Windows key E will open whatever editor I'm using, whether it's Gedit or Kedit on mint with mate. I think it's Pluma. So my key bindings are more towards the function than the application, although I do use O for Opera and F for Firefox, but then they're cross-platform, so it's always the same. W for my Office Suite, and it seems to work out. I don't have to have memorized a separate set of key bindings for each machine. The same set of key bindings works on all the machines. Still in the Settings panel, I want to talk a bit about startup applications because that's something that tripped me up. If you install Enlightenment onto a machine where you've had another desktop environment, such as Mate, GNOME, KDE, XFCE, and you look in your menu under Applications, Settings, or on my Mint machine, it's Applications, Settings, Preferences, and Appearance, just as in the Mate menu, and find something for Startup Applications. That is not going to be the Startup Applications item for Enlightenment. That's the Startup Application item from the previously installed desktop environment, which Enlightenment has picked up and added to the menu. If you want to set up your startup applications, your applications to begin upon login to Enlightenment, such as X Screensaver, in my case, I usually have gcrelum. I know it's old, but it works. It doesn't need to be made any newer. It works just fine the way it is. And others of that nature, you need to go to the Enlightenment Settings panel, to the Apps category, and select Startup Applications there. That is the Enlightenment Startup Application Settings. When that opens up, it's got three tabs: System, Applications, Order. System includes things such as the screensaver, the Blue Man applet, the HP system tray for my HP Lip, and so on. I have two items selected, screensaver and the Wicked Network Manager tray. Then applications, and this works like the other applications-related things I mentioned. You scroll down the list until you find the application that you want and to start up automatically, such as gcrelum. You highlight it and click Add to add it to the startup list, or Remove to remove it from the startup list. Click the Order tab and select the order in which you want them to start up. The caution here is make sure you're using Enlightenment Startup Settings, not another startup applications applet that might have been lying around on your computer and made it into the main menu. Okay, we're nearly there. I'm going to flip over to the other workspace and make sure, yes, we are still recording. I find it distracting to try to work through this stuff and look at Audacity at the same time. I want to talk about the title bar dialog. When I right-click or left-click on the icon in the upper left-hand corner of an application window, I get the title bar dialog. If I right-click over the title bar itself, I get that same dialog. That dialog is a submenu that includes the choices Window, which has its own submenu, take a screenshot of the selected application, Move to, and you can select from your configured desktops, Always on Top, Sticky, Shade, and Close. So I can shade by selecting Shade from the menu. I can also shade by double-clicking on the title bar. Under the Window choices, I can maximize it to full screen. I can maximize, and that maximizes it to exclude the area occupied by the panel. I can unmaximize. That actually is a choice on the menu. And here, interestingly, I can maximize vertically, which keeps the same horizontal dimensions, but takes the window up to the full height of the screen, excluding the shelf. I can maximize horizontally, which takes the window the full width of the screen but keeps the existing height of the window. I can maximize left, which will occupy the left half of the screen, or maximize right, which will occupy the right half of the screen. And I know when I first got into this, that was one of the questions that 5150 was interested in Enlightenment, was half maximizing to one side or the other of the screen, and I didn't discover how to do that until a couple of months after his question on Linux questions got me interested in Enlightenment. You can also on the window menu, you can iconify, and I, that doesn't seem to do much that I can tell. I'm sure it does something. I can set my stacking always on top, always below, and so on. There's an item for skip. So if I put skip and select, say, the pager, then the icon will not appear in my pager. If I select skip the window list and then do Alt-Tab to bring up the window list, that particular window where I've selected to skip will not appear in the Alt-Tab window list. I can select my border style. I could use the default or use the icon provided with the application and so on. I don't mess with that. But I do want to talk about Remember. If I click Remember, I get a little dialog box to remember nothing, size and position, lux and so on. If I click Advanced, and I have done this with certain application, there are identifiers. I have to select an identifier for the window for the remembering to work. In this case, I'm doing this testing with the Setups dialog, and the window name is already selected as E. The class is selected as Configure, and the settings window type, that's what it's going to remember by. If I click Properties, I can select it to remember position, size, border style, and so on. I have done this, I did actually do this with gcrelum. Now, gcrelum does not have a title bar, so how I did it with gcrelum was I pointed at the gcrelum icon in the taskbar, right-clicked, and I got that same title bar menu. I went into Window, Remember. For an identifier, I selected gcrelum, and for Properties to Remember, I select Position, Size, Locks, and Stickiness. And position gcrelum where I wanted it, and then when I shut down and restarted, gcrelum comes back to that same location on the screen automatically. I also, for gcrelum, set the stacking for it to be below everything else as opposed to normal. Also in the title bar dialog, there may from time to time appear a kill item. When that appears, it means basically to kill the application, much as the kill command would do from the command line. Any data would be lost. And there's a choices for ICCM NetWM settings. Now, I looked that up, and that stands for Interclient Communication Conventions Manual / Extended Window Managers Hints. And there are various Windows behavior choices that have to do with compliance with desktop standards that I haven't played with, and I doubt most users would really be interested in. So that's a brief review of settings in the Enlightenment desktop. The dialog boxes I found particularly interesting, and the ones I've had to use to get the system to do what I wanted it to do. There are many, many configuration choices, individual dialogs within Enlightenment, far more, I think, than most people will ever wish to explore, but all of them work in one way or the other, similar to the ones that I've described. If you're interested in using Enlightenment, I hope you find this enlightening. I have gotten quite attached to it. It's almost winning me away from Fluxbox, which has been my go-to window manager for quite some time now, 4 or 5 years or more. As far as I'm concerned, Enlightenment does live up to its billing for visual appeal. If you want to email me, you can email me at frank@pineviewfarm.net. Pineview Farm is all one word, no spaces, no punctuation. And my website is www.pineviewfarm.net. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.